We're going to read now from Acts 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky, and he was going as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we're heading into the book of Acts today, after the resurrection account last week that we read from the book of Luke. And Luke wants the church to know here that Jesus is just getting started. That's to say that the cross wasn't the end, but neither was the resurrection. You know, some of us, when we see a film, we like, some of us like cryptic endings, some of us like happy endings, if you like. The resurrection is not the happy ending to the story of Jesus. It is a cryptic ending. And what Luke is saying here is that the life of Jesus, the teachings, the healings, the dining out with inappropriate people, his death and even his resurrection, God raising Jesus to new life, all of that is not the thing. Jesus was just getting started. Luke says, "I wrote my gospel account to tell you about everything that Jesus began to do in his life, death and resurrection, right up to the ascension." You know, in the film Jaws, one of the very best lines, I think, is that when they're going out to catch the shark and Brody gets his first sight of that huge fish and he says to the captain, "You're going to need a bigger boat." That's what Luke is getting at. If I'm going to tell you about Jesus properly, we're going to need a bigger story, because it doesn't stop there at the gospel, not even with the resurrection. The story is even bigger than that. And spoiler alert, you get caught up in the story too. So it's strange that the book of Acts rushes straight into a pause. Did you spot it? It's only brief. And we can easily miss it. We can rush straight on to the ascension. We can plunge into Pentecost with the tongues of fire, with the rushing winds and lots of getting out there. And that's a brilliant antidote to the lockdown, isn't it? But first, there is this command to wait. To wait in Jerusalem. It's all part of that 40 days where we're not quite sure where the action is going to go. Wait with Jesus. Wait for the Spirit. Wait with and for God's gifts. And we know about waiting at present, don't we? We know that waiting is frustrating. We all know that. Interrupting the hurly-burly of life that we often dream about, it comes at a cost and it's not easy. But that's what Jesus insists on right now for his disciples in a different context. Jesus with the cross behind him, death done, new life ahead, waiting to sweep the globe, enforces a time of waiting. In fact, Jesus is assembling the cast in this period for the next chapter of resurrection living. But the first act of this cast is to wait. And in the pause, we learn something about resurrection living. It's about newness, yes. But we learn also that it's about renewing the old, because the cast that's being assembled is the same as before, almost entirely. That bunch of failures, deniers, fleers, as well as some faithful women, is here with Jesus. Resurrection life is newness planted in the old. In and through Jesus, God isn't just overcoming death. God's overcoming failure as well. God's overcoming fear. God's overcoming cowardice and cruelty. God's overcoming all that characterised the old. And Luke presents us with a homely and familiar scene. Jesus at table with the disciples. Jesus taking time with the disciples, patiently teaching them. If you like, that's the old Jesus. And we see, though, from their question about the kingdom being restored to Israel, that they find it hard to let go of that old, to get beyond it. So Jesus is present in new life, but he's nurturing the disciples towards that newness. We also see, frustratingly, that resurrection life isn't fast life, at least not yet. Later, Paul will talk about transformation in the twinkling of an eye. But that's for when the trumpet sounds. That's not yet. The new that Jesus inhabits for now is being enacted in the old. And it's been enacted slowly. Jesus presents himself to the disciples to work things through. It's a bit like adding yeast to flour. Do you remember flour? Doing the kneading of the dough, leaving it to prove, seeing it change. There's a slow work of newness going on. And of course, we want to rush. We want to rush straight to the ascension. We want to rush straight on to Pentecost, to some easy wins. But Jesus enforces some waiting, because resurrection life has to grow. It's slow life, not fast. It's a strange thing that the risen Lord's first recorded command is to wait. Surely fresh from the tomb, it's the time for some dynamic doing. But instead, he says, he gives this command, wait in Jerusalem. Wait for God's gift. Wait to be transformed into a cast of witnesses to the resurrection, with God's life blowing through your life, bringing newness to you and to others around you. Wait for what God has promised. Of course, we're all sick of waiting. We're all sick of being cooped up and closed in. But Jesus wants this experience of waiting for a while for his disciples. They're joining the story, and he wants them to know deep down that the good news of life from death isn't dependent on their motivation, their energy, their skills. It is about getting caught up in what God can do and what God will do. They need to learn something really new if they are going to be witnesses to the resurrection and to the newness of life that God brings through it. That is, that life is lived out of the gifts and energy of God. That Jesus shows up in the closed rooms of our lives with commands and with promises. And that changes everything. That the Spirit comes and energizes lives and breaks old ways of thinking and living. The cast of the resurrection needs to know newness before it can witness to it. And waiting is a part of that. After that, of course, they will be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, in that world that they know and love well. They will be witnesses onto Samaria, that bit of the world that they know but don't really like and don't feel comfortable in. And then they will be witnesses onto the ends of the earth, all that world that they don't know at all, which is unknown to them. That's where the story is going to take them. But first, they must be still. They must be closed in with Jesus and with themselves. They need that pause, waiting for the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, blow through our closed lives, our closed-in lives. Open us to your kingdom coming. Give us in these days to meet with Jesus, our resurrected Lord. Give us to be at table with Jesus, receiving promises and commissions, so that in the time of your choosing, we can be filled with your Holy Spirit and be witnesses to new life, resurrection life in Jesus Christ. This we pray in his name. Amen. We'll close with the words of the grace, and then we're going to sing the hymn together and come up on the screen, Thine Be the Glory, after which there'll be a Zoom meeting which we can all get together and have a coffee together in. So let's close with those familiar words. Let's say them together and enfold our lives together in the life of God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.